Welcome to Twos Talk with Tosh, Dino, and Donnie.
Hey, fellas.
I'm fired up about this one.
Are you?
Yeah. You know, there was so much feedback from the last podcast that I think we got to touch on a couple things before we get rolling here with our guests.
Oh, please. I do really? Love feedback.
You're just okay, chomping so, a bit to get at
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So Donnie sends a text out for our 29 listeners out there. Mm-hmm. Donnie sends a text out saying, hey, fellas, I did something a little extra for you on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And so we were going back and forth going, okay, today. What's it going to be? What do you think it's going to be? Blah, blah, blah. And then I listened to the intro and I don't think I stopped laughing for 20 minutes. That whole REO Speedwagon intro, because we're missing the concert.
Today. So
it's tomorrow.
12.
No, it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. So we're missing it tomorrow, right? So, yeah. So that was really cool. And the other thing is this, and maybe it's a shot. It might be my shot right off the top.
Wow.
Pick a different song.
Way to turn it around.
Where is Jay Livingston?
How
is there no response to maybe the best shot in the history of 222s?
He's I know he's got Jonesy's cell phone, so there might be some shots being fired across the bow.
Yeah, but
Jonesy would have made that public for sure.
I'm going to tell you, if I got shredded on a podcast, I would want to answer back.
That was the I listened to it three times, and it was the best shot we've ever had on here. It was amazing. So those are my two things. Donnie, I appreciate the old tip of the cap to the fact that we're missing Ario.
Take it on the run, baby.
But Jay, like, stand up for yourself, man. Be a man. Like,
yeah, you got worked.
What is that all about?
Yeah, you got beat up.
Maybe we're going to see something at Frozen Fundamentals, because we are doing our instructor's Christmas party that night too. So I'm just
he'll be wearing a sombrero.
Yeah, there'll be something.
I guess my question to you guys was going to be, how do you think he wears his hat? Does he purposely walk right up to Jones with it backwards? And
yeah,
I know what he's going to do.
But does Jonesy just outright slap him? Just right across the lips.
Well, you're setting it all up now.
Open hand slap.
We have a fist fight. We don't have coverage for that.
So the 12 parents that are listening, when we were all together in California, Razor went at him a little bit about his backwards hat too. And his reasoning was, hey, we put the logo on the front of the hat so people can see it. Don't disrespect the hat. Don't disrespect the logo. Turn your hat around. Yep. And he kind of just laughed it off. And the parents were dying laughing.
But then he said, you do have 222's fast pitch on the back, so...
Yeah, he did.
Doesn't matter which way you put it. So he's rebutted that part of it.
Yeah.
Speaking of the 12 parents, this should be said too. So we had practice last weekend, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And
it was a good one.
I was coming back from Yorkton. Matthew was playing hockey, so I missed the first day. And I got a picture from Anderson, and they were out at the brew house after practice. And we've talked about it at length, how the 12 U's, those parents... They're very social.
Yeah. Okay?
Very social. Yep. Like maybe the most social group, and I know the guy that's on here was very social too, but maybe the most social group we've had as a group. And they sent me a picture. They're all, you know, hey, come for a drink.
It's early. That's early to say that. Because that's
early. Does yeah, those, they, those they, got, one they got a lot of work. They got years to put in. Like our guests put in years.
Yeah.
Years.
Yeah, there is a fear that they might fizzle out. They're on quite a pace. Oh, yeah,
for sure.
Quite a pace.
For sure. I mean, their worst fear though is their daughter says, I don't want to play softball anymore. That would be their worst fear. But anyways, the first shot was them around the table, the whole head in, hey, how's it going? Come for a drink. The next was a shot of a tray of shooters, and there had to have been 40 shooters on that tray.
Yeah, and there
I'm scared.
Must have been 40 people there, huh? No.
No shot. There was like six people around the picture.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
12. I got the same picture from Branks. And he said, hey, these 12 parents sure do like to get at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's the ringleader. What's he talking about?
Well, I feel like he's the puppet master. He's not the guy like Anderson who's always, he's right in your face.
Yeah.
Branks is sort of in the background playing music, just like, setting the mood, just making puppets, people dance.
Yeah, and just giggling at everybody. Hey? Just, and then when it slows down, he just stirs the pot a little bit.
Yeah,
I think that'd be Brank up to sneaky.
Well, we'll see how they do in the long run, you know.
Yeah, like I mean they're still like the reality is those parents are still 1, 2, 3, probably 4 years away from Vegas. That'll be the telltale. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can perform in Vegas, you know, then
I don't know if they can keep up this breakneck pace until Vegas. That's quite a task for anybody. I don't think Ozzy Osbourne could keep up this pace.
No.
I think that they've really set the bar, you know, pun intended.
Well, hopefully in not a bad way.
No.
It's hard to, when you set the bar too high early, it's tough.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, you set expectations.
Like our Oilers, man. Right? I think we peaked a little early.
Yeah, you don't want to peak in October.
October's a bit early.
Comparison. Very good comparison.
Sad. There's an announcement being made today. I wonder what that's about.
We're either getting a goalie or a new coach.
Well, so there's all kinds of rumors. And, of course, Twitter is fantastic for fake news. But that Evander Kane is going to be signing a league minimum deal in Edmonton, which unfortunately, I don't know, does that help? He can't make very many saves as far as I'm concerned.
No.
You don't want to blame the goalie entirely.
Well, bring in a guy that's going to stir everything up.
Yeah. Let's bring in the guy who's been a cancer for every team he's played for.
Yeah.
Probably not going to help the locker room. But no. I love the gambling man. Just roll the dice and see what happens, you know?
Literally.
Yeah.
Sadly. Literally. Yeah.
Not playing?
Jason Giambi's brother.
No, he got released.
Is he not playing?
He was in San Jose's minor system, and they just said, hey, we're cutting you and cutting your contract.
Yeah. Wow.
Yikes.
I don't know, man. There was rumors of Carey Price too.
That would be good. Yeah.
What would you give up? Okay, let's not get it too much into because we don't have Peter Laborteus today. But what would you give up for a Carey Price? What would the package look like?
First rounder and Yakimoto.
You think that would be enough to get Price?
Well, that's what I'd give up. I'm not saying it'd be enough.
Yeah.
What else would you give up? Nuge?
No, I don't know if you can give up Nuge, but I mean,
a little bit of that, and you'll get them.
Yeah.
Remember, this is an audio podcast.
Here's the thing, though. You get rid of Price, and you put Draisaitl, he'll just play center on the second line, and I mean, they've got young guys that can kill penalties and chip in, but the bottom line is they can't keep it out of their own net. Maybe they'll win games 4-1.
Yeah, but they were winning games with the same people 10 minutes ago. Right?
Yeah, but they were scoring all the time, man. That's the problem. Like they were just outscoring teams.
Well, so just like anything, even in our sport, if you start seeing a pitcher that you can't handle, you start looking at it a little more, looking at film to try and find a way to beat him. Or if you have a hitter you can't get out, you try and find a spot to put it on him. I think the other teams have looked and said, hey, if we just throw the puck at the net, you know, there's a 50-50 shot that's going in.
And I think they're passing that advice around.
Yeah, it seems like the book might be out on the back end of the Oilers here. By no means am I Bob Stauffer, but that seems like a fairly, you know, easy thing to throw out there.
Yeah. I wonder who our guest cheers for.
Well, okay, so we want to bring it. Yeah, let's bring in our guest. So we have a
good lead in, bud.
Yeah,
good lead in. Very good. Not at all.
Very good.
I know.
So he's actually going to fall. His daughter's been on the cast. He's been a parent in the program, but now he's going to announce we're going to put out there. He's El Presidente, kind of a big deal. The thing I want to know, so Curtis Pancras, welcome to the cast, by the way.
Thanks, guys.
First thing I want to know isn't about ball. It's you're a Regina guy. Do you eat at the Italian Star Deli in Regina?
I have eaten there, a few times.
And your thoughts on the sandwich, tell me. Let's be honest.
It's pretty darn good.
Oh, what a fantastic sandwich. Anyway, that's it for us on Tuesday Talk.
They do a great job, Donnie.
Yeah.
Have you had one there?
Oh, yeah.
Or are you just asking?
No, I have. Yeah. In fact, I got a buddy who works for a company that does work in Regina, and he brings me back one every time he goes there. Even a half day old Italian Star Deli sandwich is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yes.
So I guess when we get Jimmy together John's? This summer, it's no Jimmy John's. You're right, Tosh, but it's its own thing.
No, I'm not saying it is. It's probably different. It's probably different than
totally
Jimmy
different.
John's.
Totally just, different.
It's good in its own way.
Yeah, it's got a little spice to it. It's fantastic. So I guess my ask of you is, as a friend of the podcast, if you could maybe next time you're coming through, you drop a sandwich off for a fellow, you know?
Yeah. There you go.
Where do you want to start, Curtis? What do you want to talk about first?
I want to ask him what does he think about this Oilers stuff? We were talking about that. So is he an Oilers fan or is he a Calgary fan or Montreal fan?
Or a Jets fan? Close enough?
No, let's guess. Don't say yet. Don't say. Donnie, what do you think he is?
I'm going to guess Leafs, unfortunately.
Okay. Tosh?
Leafs.
No, I'm gonna go Bruins. Bruin
oh.
fan.
Okay. Oh, Bruin. Okay.
Yeah.
Curtis? I said Montreal.
Oh, okay.
You guys are all wrong. I'm actually an Edmonton Oilers fan through.
Yes, baby.
Wow.
I strayed for a little bit during the Gretzky era. Yeah. When he got traded to Los Angeles, I went to the Kings for a bit. And actually, he wasn't my favorite player. Luke Robitaille was. Oh. So I followed Luke Robitaille for a bit, but in the end, I came back to the good old Edmonton Oilers.
My sympathies. Wow. I think I knew that.
You've had to have worn some Oilers stuff over the years, and I probably said something. I think I knew that. I don't think I
wear anything but Tues gear when I'm with the Tues program, so you probably didn't see me wearing Edmonton.
To be fair, it's a nice line of gear you fellas put out. I got to say, sharp. You have your uptown clothes you can go to, out to dinner with, or your practice gear. It's all very nice.
We're gonna come out with 222 suits too, as well, for the
some formal wear
person out there. Yeah, yeah. So maybe even some ladies business wear.
A nice lapel,
like a pantsuit.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm supporting my daughter now with the Cobbers gear.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. Hey, let's talk about Hales for a little bit. How's she doing?
She is doing excellent. She was home for 3 weeks over Christmas, so that was nice to have her home. And the kid didn't put down the ball glove. She'd come home for holidays and needed to get to training, needed to get to some hitting practice and stuff. So she enjoyed that. It was tough to see her go. She went back to Minnesota on the 5th of January. It was tough to see her go, especially now that season's coming up and we won't see her now, or she won't be home until probably May, middle of May, if things go well and they make the playoffs. So she's doing well and enjoying it.
I think if I recall, we were talking about some tears. Did that happen? Remember when Haley? I
think Haley did say that dad cried.
Yeah, dad's probably going to cry.
There were some tears when I first dropped her off at college. Because it was weird because I was able to go. Take her, drop her off, and then have to come back because of all the COVID and all that stuff, restrictions. So that was tough. I did shed a few tears. This last time, though, I had to go to work the day she left, so I wasn't around her, but there probably would have been some tears.
Hey, man, you can't show up at work with freaking tears. The boys would have been all over you.
Well, I'll tell you, there was we've talked about Haley, you know, quite a bit, not only on the cast, but off the cast. And we talked a little bit about, you know, how long you've been around. Like you were saying that you were taking lessons from Dino before we'd even officially become the Twos. And so you guys have been there kind of right from the start. And, you know, I said this kind of joke before about kids that are quiet. You know, for the first little while, I didn't know if she spoke English.
Yeah.
You know, and then now when she gets on the podcast, she's, you just
so you're collected.
Mature.
It's unbelievable.
And, you know, we put that moniker on a few kids, and I think Haley very, very much wears that moniker with our program as, you know, one of the most improved kids to come through our program. And I was just going to say, when you said, you know, she came home, went to work. I mean, the work ethic was amazing. The amount of reps that kid put in away from the field was where the reason she got where she is, really.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. So,
well, I'd like to say she gets her maturity from her dad, but that might be stretching it a little.
Yeah, we know different. We did talk about the 12s, and we did bring you up. I mean, you kind of led the charge in your era too. So,
yeah.
Very well, if you're not having, I tell my girls when I'm coaching, if you're not having fun, why be here?
That's right.
So, Curtis, you've done a lot of summer coaching too, right? So,
yep.
What's your plans through? I know we've got a, like Donnie said, you're wearing another hat now, so being the president of RMSL, that's fantastic. We're congratulations. Happy for you.
Thanks.
You know, what does that do to your summer coaching? Are you still able to try to do that, or what's your plan?
Yeah, well, I got my name in the hat for coaching U15. The age group has changed this year, so hopefully it's going to be a lot of the same kids that I've worked with for the last, if I get the job, for the last 2 years. So that's a benefit. One of the things with taking on the role of president is now I can't just look after one team, right? I have to look out for what's best for the entire city of Regina. That's kind of thing. So it's a little different that way, right? You can't just look out for your own kid. You can't just look out for one team or even one zone in Regina, because Regina has two zones now. I have to look out for what's best for everybody. So it's going to be a little bit tougher that way. But I think with the people that are on board, that are on the executive to help me out, you know, I think we can do a good job of it. So
yep. Surround yourself with good people, right?
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
So Curtis, you've gone through the gamut and you've been around minor ball in Regina for a long time. Would you say, where are your numbers? Where are the numbers right now for softball?
Like you're not asking specifics, right? You're asking.
No. I'm asking like, cause it ebbs and flows. Right. So I'm just wondering, yep. Like, are you down from when you started? Are you starting to come back up? Where are you at?
Well, the last couple of years with all the restrictions and stuff, we are down in numbers somewhat. We made a huge bounce back last year, knowing that we were going to actually be able to play a season. It started a little late, but that's the big thing is with the late starts the last couple of years is, you know, how parents, you know, they want to spend time at the lake in the summer. And that's when ball season was the last 2 years. So that's why numbers, I think, are down a little bit. But they're bouncing back with a vengeance. I think Team Canada winning a bronze medal in the Olympics is always a big help. Same as when Blue Jays win the World Series or make the playoffs, right? You see a spike in baseball. And I think that's the same situation we're having now, is girls have seen, hey, look, I could go to the Olympics as a softball player. And hopefully they get things right sooner than later and they bring it back to the Olympics as a full-time sport. And you know what? I think that's going to help us big time with our numbers.
Well, anyone who doesn't want to play softball can take break dancing and still go to the Olympics. That seems pretty relevant.
Don't disrespect our couple breakdancer fans.
I'm no, yeah. Out of the 30 listeners,
there is no way we have breakdance fans.
Yeah. Well, I do a little breakdancing. I'll tell you, the only when I'm in my garage,
it looks like you're broken.
Playing little darts. No, when I'm playing little darts, the rule is if you get three counting darts, then I do a little dance. Yeah, a little break dance. So if we're gonna play a little darts one day, you might see it. You might pull it out.
Oh no way!
I think that sounds amazing.
It doesn't happen very often. Yeah. I'm not that good. I'm not Healy's class. You know, Healy's the big dart player.
Yeah, and they take it very serious, big those time. Guys.
Yeah, they.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not quite where Healy is.
Their year in review. I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm looking forward to it. So
yeah.
But hey, anyways.
Yeah. Sorry. I listened to it and I think it was pretty great. They actually Yeah. And I know we talked to those guys about maybe them coming on the cast again, reference, but yeah, they did it. They did it well. They brought guests on that they had and had them talk about their favorite part of their own episode. So it was pretty well done. Really, really
so we'll
like
steal
that,
idea.
Well, yeah, and we're going to say right to Mullally, hey, we had that idea. You guys got it out first, but it's ours for sure. So
Curtis, is there a big changeover in the board, or like you being president, that's a big change, obviously. Sue was around for a long time, and but is there other people that have stepped up as well, or?
There's a couple new members, it seems it's like everything though, like right, the people that volunteer kind of go down the chain and take different positions on, and a lot of it is you see the same faces, but there are a few new faces, parents that are kids are just starting to play. So there was a huge turnover in Zone One's executive because of my leaving that board. So there's a huge change there, and hopefully down the in a couple of years, maybe some of those parents will take on roles with the RMSL executive as well.
Yeah, that'd be good. So what are some of the things that you guys are looking at right off the hop? I mean, the season isn't that really that far away. It's actually -2 today, so it's warming up already. Mm-hmm. But what are some of the things that you're looking forward to bringing to the table moving into the season?
Well, one of the big things we're doing, and I don't know if you guys have probably heard that RMSL is actually hosting Women's Nationals this year. So that's a big thing. That'll be a it's very time consuming and a lot of work to put together. We actually,
where are they going to have it?
What's that?
Sorry, Curtis. Where are they going to have it?
We're going to have it. We're going to have it, right at Armacell Park on, we have senior women's diamond, two senior women's diamonds right at the park. So, we're hoping that, maybe we can make some improvements, to those diamonds, over the year, possibly scoreboards, that sort of thing. So a lot of fundraising will be happening to try to improve our park. That's the biggest thing that we're going to be working on this next season.
Well, and you guys have done a lot of work there over the last couple of years too, like the new canteen there and stuff. I think it was, you got a new building out there too. That's.
Yeah. We got a canteen building a couple of years ago. They're building another building now, in the spring here for actually women's umpire change room. So that's a big thing, right? They're going to use a new building for that. We've improved our dugouts. Fencing is always a big issue. People cutting the fences, so we're fixing fences all the time. Yeah, you can leave a gate open, but they'll cut the fence right beside it.
That's frustrating.
It's one of those things that's ongoing costs. So yeah, but no, like I said, we're making improvements every year. We've made improvements at the diamonds, and I think that's having an executive director like we have, like Christina Kenny. She's all over grant money and stuff like that for improvements. So having her a paid position on our kind of on our board as executive director, it really helps out. Right? A lot of organizations are all volunteers, but having that full-time staff member really is a bonus.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, question for you and for people out there listening, actually myself included, you apply to be the president. What is your term? Tell us what that kind of looked like. Is it a 4-year? Is it a 2-year? What's the?
Well, normally the position is a 2-year term. But the outgoing president stepped down after 1 year. Actually, she's been was the president, I think, for 4 or 5 years. But her term actually is a 2-year term. But she stepped down after 1. So I'm kind of the interim president, so to speak, and for 1 year. And then come next year, if things go well, I'll put my name in the hat again and hopefully get elected for a 2-year term after that. So
perfect.
Interesting. All right. I honestly didn't know. I know our board in Lloydminster kind of runs the same way, but I think it's interesting. You made a good point. You have to look out after an organization, not just one team. So I think that you're in a good spot for sure. Regina's got great diamonds, a great spot to play, not to butter up. I will say this. You both use the word canteen.
I know. I was searching. I'm not a word guy, right? Well, I don't have my thesaurus out like Curtis has back there.
But Curtis agreed. People do refer to it as a canteen or a concession.
Concession.
Yeah. That's probably what I was looking for.
I don't know if I've heard that used in back-to-back sentences maybe in my life. So I think that's another first for the cast. Good job, boys.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
Get up there with Globe, right? Globe and canteens.
So Curtis, before we got going, you were talking about, you know, some of the programs that are available to kids, and I know that, you know, we're one of a few different programs that are going on, and I think that, you know, the more opportunities kids have to get in and get instruction, you know, the better. So what kind of things are kind of going down? Like, I'm in Saskatoon, right? So I kind of have a pretty good idea what's going on down here, and obviously Dino and I don't talk very often, so what kind of things are going down in Regina, and what opportunities are out there for the kids right now?
Well, that's a good question, and it's great to see in the last couple of years the opportunities that have arose for specifically softball. You know, every sport is becoming year-round, and I think in the past in Regina, lack of facilities and stuff like that has really hurt softball. But, you know, this year they got that new facility, Regina Sport, I think it's called.
Sport Performance Center, yeah.
Yeah, and I know you guys do your training out of there. A couple other groups are doing their training out of there. There's a small facility in Regina, Regina Diamond Impact. They do training all year round. They actually run a high performance program. There's RBI in Regina, and then Softball SASC has their programs that run throughout the winter as well. So there's lots of opportunities, and if nothing else, just the reps, right? The girls are able to get into facilities and get the reps so that they're training all winter long, just the same as every other sport is now, training year round. I think that's huge benefit. So regardless of what program they're in or who the instructors are, some obviously are better than others, and others like some programs better than others, but the opportunities are there, and that's the biggest thing now in Regina. So those opportunities are there for the girls.
You mentioned Diamond Impact, and you know, the other thought about being Sports Performance Center, that's a little bit different because they're not necessarily giving you a program, but they're giving us an opportunity, a place to go. And Regina was definitely needing something like that, right? Like, I mean, it's, yeah, it's somewhere we could do some indoor turf. I mean, they had the Cooperators, but, you know, in all honesty, that there's a lot of soccer going on there. And the times that you want to try to get in are really difficult because it's busy. So it's really, really nice. We were pretty happy to see that that Sport Performance Center open up, and obviously a lot of different programs could use that, right? So it was definitely needed for the area for sure.
Yeah, and I know some of the programs in Regina, some of the ball, they're going to be using that center for their evaluations in the coming up here fairly quickly. So like you said, it's just the facility itself, right? They don't offer the training, but that facility is huge. You need the turf, you need a space to be able to train, and they provide it. So,
well, yeah, that's a great point. I mean, we've searched for years, actually, since we started. You know, there was never at a place in Regina. There was, you know, we were looking at school gyms and doing stuff like that, but there, you know, consequently, we had to go to Moose Jaw, and the RS Center Moose Jaw is a great facility. They've been great to us, and, you know, love going out there, but we needed something in Regina to get more of a presence in Regina. And, you know, this was the first year that we got winter training going because of the Sport Performance Center. And it was awesome. I've only been in there the one time to do the tour, but you know, it's definitely given a shot in the arm to those programs that needed a facility. So it's good.
Yeah. And it was sure nice to be able to just have the training in my backyard instead of having to drive. My youngest yep. daughter now is taking the winter training with the twos program, and it's nice to not have to drive to, not that there's anything wrong with Battleford or Lloyd or any of those places, but they're just a little far for some of the training. So it's good to have it in the backyard now.
Yeah. Well, you're from the days of 1 week in Moose Jaw, 1 week in Saskatoon, 1 week in Moose Jaw, 1 week in Saskatoon. Yeah.
That's
right.
Yeah.
I got to say though, this has definitely helped our program. Like, being in, you know, obviously in Regina over the last how many years, and it had to do partially with facilities, is we just weren't able to offer winter training here. So for us, that Sport Performance Center was a really big deal, because right off the hop, I mean, you can say it, over the last few years, there's been a lot more Regina kids in our programs, and the winter teams are starting to, you know, get their share of kids, not only from Regina, but the South. Right. And so for us being able to put a, you know, a training program for them here right in Regina, it filled up. It was the fastest one that filled up out of all of our winter trainings. We've got, obviously, like, we training in Saskatoon, Moose Jaw, Edmonton. This filled up pretty quick. So it was nice to see, for sure.
Well, it's great to see a lot of the girls from Regina now joining your guys' winter teams. I know I look back at the stats, and honestly, I think Haley was the only one from Regina for a long time.
Yeah,
I was going to say that.
So, but it's great to see more and more girls trying out for those winter teams and getting those opportunities like we had. And just makes for better ball for everybody. So,
well, Tosh says it all the time. It's, you know, when we talk to our kids that are playing on the teams, it's when you go back to your summer clubs, we, you know, Tosh, you say it, because I'm going to say it wrong, and then Donnie will get all over me.
Our whole thing, and the hope for the kids in our program is, and I say it all the time, I want you to go back to your team and either be the MVP, but more importantly, the most improved player. Yeah. Right. And that's what I think is happening with the kids that we're seeing coming from different communities. Like you said, Curtis, you know, Hales was one of the first ones and one of the only ones for a long time out of Regina. And now, you know, we're seeing a bunch of kids come out of Regina and consequently then, you know, those kids are getting the opportunity, they're getting the work ethic, they're getting to see ball at the top level, and they bring that back to their clubs. And we see it all over the place where, you know, our kids, and it's not just us. There's other programs that are doing a great job as well. And I think, Curtis, you hit it. The more opportunities these kids have, the better. But I look at some of the, you know, Canada Games teams, and I look at a lot of the A teams around the province, and I really enjoy going to watch some of those tournaments because there's Stu's gear all over the park, and it's a good thing that these kids are taking those things that they've learned, you know, from our program back to their club teams. And like you said, it's just going to increase the level of ball, not only as province, but, you know, in the three provinces that we really have kids playing. So,
and Donnie hit on it too. It's nice looking gear that you guys put out. Yeah.
Look just good, wait play till good. The pantsuit comes out.
Yeah, look good, play good. Look good, play good. Yeah,
so
yeah,
Curtis, when was your, I don't know, for lack of a better word, inauguration? When were you named president?
I actually, they had their AGM back at the beginning of October. I actually didn't take the position till November because like I said, it's interim position. So Sue Gowan stepped down in November, and that's when I took over. I kind of knew that I was approached this past summer to take on the position. And I contemplated it and thought long and hard about it because, like I said, now I'm looking after the interests of the entire organization rather than just one team or one zone. And I like to do hands-on, and then a lot more hands-on is at the local level, right? The zone level rather than RMSL level. So it was a tough decision, but, you know, in the end I thought, you know what, I could probably do a lot of good, or hopefully do a lot of good for the organization as a whole. And that's why I took the position. So
awesome.
So well, I guess my next question is going to be, coaches, how are they vetted through the organization? Because I know you just said you applied, but you're the president, so I feel like that's a sort of a slam dunk. But maybe I don't understand the politics quite like it should.
Donnie, you're looking under the carpet.
Okay, well, I can only speak for Zone 1 in Regina, which is the Lasers and Saints teams. Each year, you put in your application to coach. We do a coaches evaluation that actually the players and the parents get to evaluate the coaches at the end of every season. And if there's not too much negativity towards that coach, a lot of times that coach will get the position again. But most of it is we don't have anybody that stays with one group for a long period of time because it's parents that are coaching, mm-hmm. right? So those... we'd like to get to the point where we have coaches in place that have no kids playing. That would be ideal, and that would stay with that program for years. We have some young females that are coming through the system now that that's going to benefit for sure once they get their feet under them and start getting head coaching jobs. That'll be good, great for the organization. They'll start coaching like U16 and stay there for U17 now, I guess, and stay with that group of girls or that age group for years to come, right? And right now it's tough because you're moving with with your kid now, right? Your kid moves up an age group, you move up an age group. And you're not always coaching the same kids because we draft our teams, right? So you might have one year, you might have certain kid, and next year you don't get that girl. She's going to play on the other team because we have two A teams in each division or each age group. And so that's kind of where it's at, right? I'm not guaranteed a position. I hope I get one, but like I said, I don't see the evaluations. I don't know who doesn't like me, so to speak, right? There might be a few that don't like me, and
well, they move on. Let's, from me, so. You've ruffled a few feathers over the years, you know, like
a few.
Sure,
yeah,
I've seen you on the diamond. You get a little hot every once in a while. So, what do you think? Like, so as a coach, what's one of the biggest things that you've learned over, let's say, the last, you know, year? How many last 6-7 years of coaching? What would be some of the things that you've worked on that you had to improve, that you had to get a little bit better, and where'd you go with that? How'd you do it?
Well, I think, obviously my temper has toned down quite a bit. It took me till about 42 years old to finally mature up a little and realize that no matter how much I yell at the umpires, it's not going to change their decision. But the coaching staff that I brought on board, has been a big help too, right? I have my father-in-law helped me coach the last 3 years, pretty calm, cool, collected guy, mm-hmm. right? Never gets angry at anything. So having them on the bench, right? You just look over there and say, hey, that's kind of where you need to be. Cause right. So that's the biggest thing is just, I think, maturing as a coach. I used to ref hockey quite a bit. Like I refed SJHL and Junior B and stuff. And you know what? I kind of liked the banter between players and myself and coaches. But you know what? Yeah. Everybody has a different approach. And you just got to realize that yelling and screaming and ranting and raving and at umpires just isn't the thing to do. So, you know, I've gotten a lot better. The last, I think, 3 years, I have not gotten kicked out of a game. So, you know, things are improving.
That's a good
streak right there. That is good.
Hey, but it's got to be said, man. It's been COVID the last 2 summers. There hasn't been a lot of games either. So it sounds like if you're looking to get that coaching job, Curtis, and I know it's maybe a little bit late, you're saying they're making decisions here pretty soon, pretty quick. You really should have got a hold of Donnie. Because Donnie is a campaign manager.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, you've heard the podcast before. Like nobody lobbies the listeners like Donnie does, right? I mean, I'm getting text messages from Mark Smith saying, "Take the guy to Vegas already." Right? Yeah. So I mean, you know, I think that Donnie
could have helped you a bit.
I was wondering like where I was going, or I thought Donnie was going with that. We were asking about the coaching process. I thought, are you getting the boot? In Lloyd, like, what's going on here? Are you looking for a new gig? Or...
No. In fact, so what I was going to ask you, my follow-up question was: I'm on the coaching staff in Lloyd. I believe I'm the only non-parent coach in the organization, which I get is a challenge. I mean, you do get the parents, and we've got lots of knowledgeable coaches in Lloyd as well that do move up with their kids. And I think the challenge that it creates is that group doesn't get a different voice unless they do go to like a twos program or performance or whatever. So the challenge becomes when we run anything, let's say with the twos, or I run it at the batting cage, I could give the very same messaging to an athlete that their dad gives them or their mom gives them. But because their mom's also telling them to do the dishes and
brush it,
clean their room and go to bed and shovel the driveway, it becomes sort of like Charlie Brown's teacher in the background, like, wah, wah, and it doesn't resonate. So I think the different voice gives me a bit of a leg up. But on my staff, I've got 4 coaches, all of them non-parents, and the board has kind of said, can you share the wealth? I didn't take any of these coaches and say, you have to coach with me. They just all, I campaigned and it worked out well. So my long-winded follow-up question is, how many, do you have any non-parent coaches in the Regina system? And you mentioned that that's coming, but do you have any now?
One of the things, like, huge benefit are U19 coach, the U19 chaos coach, one of the A teams in Regina. That coach is not a parent, doesn't have any kids on the team. We had a female coach in U16B this past season that doesn't have, she's a younger coach, doesn't have any kids at all yet. So she coached U16B. We have assistant coaches that we bring on board. Like I brought a young coach on board the last 3 years, and they're continuing to coach now. So hopefully in a year or two, they become head coaches and we can move on. That's what we're trying to do, is get the females involved in the female sport. I'm not saying that male coaches aren't good, but we just feel that females, it's their game. We want to get them as involved as possible.
Mm-hmm. On an update note, Tosh, if I am getting fired from the Lloyd organization, I would love a heads up. Don't like surprises. But Cassie Reed, former Twos athlete, is the assistant coach for the 17s in Lloyd. Nice. Lindsay Mayo has offered to help a little bit with the 19s in Lloyd. So a couple of alumni coming back to their former.
Very cool.
Yeah, very good. And I think you made a good point. We have a female coach who works with the Twos as well. Shelly Smith is her name. Phenomenal. Went to Jamestown, had a good career. The other guys that coach with me are, they all play with my men's Pirates team, which is a pretty good ball team. We have Mitch Stack and Ryan Friedrich, pretty accomplished ball players. The girls could care less. It may as well be Mr. Dress Up as the assistant coach. They all want to do what Shelly did, which is, you're right, you make a good point. What Shelly did is what the path they want to follow, and they don't really particularly care about. Not that they don't care. I shouldn't say that. That's not the right word. But they're more impressed for sure with what Shelly's done in the game than what the three of us combined have done. So it's good to have people like Lindsay Mayo, Cassie Reed coming back in.
Most of my coaching goes through my female assistant coach because the girls listen to her. Mm. They don't listen.
Yeah. No, and I think that's a good point, Donnie. And maybe Cassie and Lindsay got a taste of Twos Week. Of instructing, and you know, maybe they kind of liked it, you know, and that's one of the things too with Twos Week or any of these other, you know, you look at Chach is back as a full-time instructor and Kim Vibert, Marina Gampy, you know, they've all gone through the program, and our hope is that once the girls, you know, even go on, like Haley goes on and goes to school and comes back, that she stays involved in the game and coaches. And you know, I think it's amazing when that can happen. And the truth is, if you look at, say, the guys that we played with coming out, not many are coaching, right? So for some reason in the guys game, everybody kind of, they do their thing, they travel, they play the games, and then they're kind of gone coaching their kids, and maybe they're playing. But there's not a lot of former players that we've played with that are still really actively coaching. There's some, don't get me wrong, there's some. But yeah, and it's been that way for a long time. So it would be really awesome if these girls that are coming back that have played the game at a high level come back and do get into coaching, because I think it's just going to strengthen the sport.
You brought up Chach, Tosh. I want to bring up something before this event gets here. Dean emailed me last night or texted me and said, hey, we've got something coming up in Edmonton on the 19th of February. Can you help with hitting? And Chach will be there for catching, and Scotty G likely will be there for pitching. So anyway, Chach and I have a long-running debate as to whom has been with the program. Who would be considered the rookie? Now, in this case, it would be Scott Galenz anyway, but good luck telling him to pick up all the bags. Not the he's prickly, to say the
what
least.
What do they do?
Yeah. However, I'd like it to be documented verbally on the air in a recording that I can play for Chach. And if I lose, I lose. But who in this case would be considered the senior of the instructors? Now, I know Chach's argument is she's been in the program as a player. But as an instructor, I clearly have more tenure, and I just want to be either able to throw it in her face or hide under a rock when it comes up. So I just want to know which direction I got to pivot to, you know, if it comes up.
Tosh, do you have an answer for that?
Well, I'm just trying to think. I'm trying to think of what the indicator would be, or because you're talking about two different things. Yes, Chach was in the program as a player.
Right.
So she's been around. Mm-hmm. So she would have the oldest gear, so sure. She could always bring that out, yes. Right? Like, oh, I've been here longer. Look at this.
I've heard
logo.
This drill for 10 years.
Yeah, that's right. And but yet, yeah, you came on as an instructor right off.
Than playing,
yeah, it is. Instructing is different than playing. But I guess if we're going to promote the fact that the girls go on and then come back to the program, you know, Chach never really left, right? Because she decided to stay home and go to school. And so I think, you know, we brought her in quite early on the coaching side.
So is it fair to say, okay. Well, is it fair to say, Tosh? Is it fair to say that we're not going to give you the answer to that, Donnie?
Yeah,
that
I'm just,
you and Tosh should discuss that.
Well, I just think I'm. What does it matter?
Oh, it doesn't. But Chach is.
Well, no, it does, Donnie, because you get fired up about.
Why
this,
a so. Little bit? Because Chach won't let it go, and I understand bullying. I get it. If you just keep pushing and you get a reaction, you'll keep doing it. I get
it. Chach bullying you?
Do we a little bit, and I appreciate it. I you know, as they say, game recognizes game. I get it, Chach. However, yeah. I don't know where to go. How much further we can keep doing this two-step? And if it is a loss for Donnie, I'll happily wear it. But and then it will bring it to an end. Or if we want to continue it. I'm okay with that too. I feel like if it became a conversation where we had to keep up with, like, let's say jokes or one-liners, I'm fairly confident that I could roll over Chach fairly easily. So is that something that we...
She's pretty one-dimensional in that category.
Sure she is, yeah.
She just drops a couple F-bombs and she thinks...
Yes. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I win.
Okay, so Donnie.
Yes.
So where do we go here?
Well, I know where we're going. I think the listeners should tell us what they think.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay. So maybe email in to yourself or to myself or Dino your thoughts on who actually is the veteran here.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the actual question?
That's not a good spot for you, though, right? Because all the former players are going to obviously back Chach, right?
Yeah.
So, why would they? This is okay. So what are we asking?
So the question, who has seniority?
Yeah,
what do you want the question to be, Donnie?
I guess the... In terms of hierarchy,
at the end of the practice, who can order the other one around? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I guess whose orders need to be followed, I guess, because Chach does like to swing it around a bit. I mean, I don't mind. Yeah. I recognize that everybody, and if we're doing our job right, the kids are picking up all the balls and the equipment. Well, that's not the issue.
Right.
I just don't want to be big leagued by someone who is 21 years old, you know? And what can I do? Right. If it was Scott Galenza, let's say, we might get into a bit of maybe a verbal that could turn into a physical attack on each other. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do with Josh? You know, all I can do
Donnie,
is. Yeah.
Take some advice from our guest today. He had to kind of cool his jets over the years. He's gotten so much smarter and he just knows he can't. You know, what you're doing right now is you're letting her get you by the tail. She's got the tiger by the tail right now. She's got you all upset.
She's
worked up over
free.
This, and I don't want you to get so worked up. Like you got seniority on the you've been on the earth longer, so I mean you gotta watch stuff like blood pressure, heart attacks, like all that kind of stuff. You can't let her get under your skin.
Yeah, I can't believe you haven't turned this around and to use it to your benefit somehow. Like there's gotta be a way for you to spin this, bud.
Oh, it'll be spun for sure. And let me be clear, I am not upset at all. I'm just looking for
where is my sandbox?
No, I could care less. Because at the end of the day.
Is this going to become the new Take Me to Vegas topic?
It might.
Like it's going to come up every podcast? It might.
Well, maybe not everyone, but certainly everyone that I work with Chach, I would think. And
we need to get her on the cast.
Sure, we could.
How about let's talk about something else? Hey, we got a camp coming up.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
In Saskatoon.
Yeah. Chach will be there.
Oh, can't wait.
She's going to be the lead instructor.
Oh, is that right? Good for Chach.
Oh, man. No, we should let, I think we've let all of our, you know, we've gotten emails and social media starting to go now with the, what do we call it, Tosh? The Frosty Fundamentals.
Frosty Fundamentals Camp.
Yeah. So I don't know why we went with the F's, but I think it was more about the Frosty because it was freaking cold for the last 2 weeks. That was ridiculous. Right?
It was too much. It was depressing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we've got a camp. It's from U11 to U19, ages U19, anybody, boys, girls. And then once we get all the registrations in, you know, so I know we've had a couple of boys ask, well, am I going to be in my own group or whatever? And obviously, if we can kind of get enough, then what we'll do is we'll keep the boys in their own groups and it'll be kind of a station-to-station type camp. And we're excited about it because we've got the most – you know, because we're also having our first, what do you want to call it? Can't call it a Christmas party, but we're actually having our first where we get all of our instructors and everybody together and we have our first year-end party. So,
Invited the instructors to.
Oh, okay. No, but I mean, that's going to be great. So we've got everybody coming. We've got some from Manitoba, from Alberta, and all of our Saskatchewan instructors and a lot of them and everybody that can make it. We're pretty excited about it. So if we can kind of utilize all those instructors and kind of give everybody a little bit of a taste of that camp, That'll be good for the kids too. They get to see some faces that they haven't seen before. And of course we have our special guest Tosh coming in.
Mr. Chris Jones.
Yeah.
Chris Jones. He's coming in. Yeah. Doing the coaches round table Saturday morning. Coaches or parents that want to come in, and Dino and I and Jonesy are going to sit around, talk national team stuff, talk development, and it's a freebie. All you got to do is register. There's no cost to that. And, but yeah, no, it's going to be good. I was just going to say, like, the instructor to player ratio is
it's up
one
there.
Instructor for every three kids, and
yeah,
just because of the number of instructors that are coming. But you coming to that, Curtis? Do you register yet, or what's going on there? No, not putting you on the spot or anything, but
Actually we are not.
And what?
The thing is because I had already entered my daughter in a camp.
That's,
good. Okay, yeah. You're doing something then.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
Well,
that's
awesome. Not very happy with me.
Because yeah.
I enter, she's like, when am I gonna get to go spend a weekend in Saskatoon?
Weekend
in Saskatoon, and it's kind of an outing for dad and daughter, and she hasn't got that with all the COVID, because I was coaching Haley for years and then stepped back from that and started coaching her, but it's been two COVID ridden seasons, so we haven't been able to wait for tournaments like that.
Well, hopefully we get things straightened out. Yeah. I know, it's always on first of our minds too, is dealing with all this stuff, and it's hopefully we get through it here in the next little while.
Yeah,
drives me crazy. So that's coming up, what, June 22nd, 23rd?
Yeah,
June? January. Yeah, January. Yeah. January. Jeez. Okay, January 22nd, 23rd in Saskatoon, Gordie Howe. Pretty excited to get back in there and do some more work in that great facility.
Dean, I don't have a calendar in front of me. That's a two-day camp. Is that a Saturday, Sunday, or Friday, Saturday?
Saturday, Sunday.
Saturday, Sunday.
Interesting. And when do you plan on having the get-together, or the Festivus?
Saturday night.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, and it's set up. Should be fun, but we're just kind of waiting to see who's all coming before we get too excited about it. But yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Any chance we can get Italian Star deli sandwiches delivered up for that as a catering event, or where are we at with that?
I don't think we'd get those guys, but I'm sure there'll be some food involved.
I hope there is
food there, Donnie. And I'm just thinking, Dino, if we did because we're going to a facility where there's some bowling and some golf simulators and. Two teams, and Chach and Donnie are the captains, maybe?
Yeah. I was wondering if you're going to go along the lines of maybe having a potluck. When's your last potluck, Donnie?
We actually had one at the station for Christmas, and it's generally my favorite. I love to see what people consider, like, that's their signature dish. You learn a lot about somebody when they come to a potluck.
Mm-hmm. What'd you bring?
I brought pulled pork. And a very nice pulled pork. The secret to the pulled pork I learned from Guy Fieri is you let it marinate in some root beer, gives it a bit of sweet, and it's beautiful. So, I did a great job, I felt. If you had to go to a potluck, Dino, what would your signature item be that you brought?
Chili.
How spicy is your chili scale of 1 to 10?
7.5.
Interesting. I'd like to try that chili.
Maybe 8.
Tosh, what were you?
No brainer. Pierogies.
Handmade?
Of course.
Oh my God. That's a nice touch. Curtis, what about you?
Well, I think I would bring KFC.
Oh. Hey, that is awesome. A buddy of mine, every time we go to each other's house, we just usually bring a bucket. Yeah.
And everybody complains, and there's none left after 5 minutes.
That's right.
Yeah. What are you doing bringing KFC? Yeah. And it's gone. Yeah, it's the only one that's they're licking the ball.
Right on.
Fantastic.
Curtis, thanks for coming. We're going to get into shots, and we talked to you offline. If you're ready, you can go first. We'd like to let the guest lead off, because when Jones did his shot, it was basically a mic drop, and no one could say anything after. So if you'd like to lead, you can. If you'd like to defer, like a kickoff in overtime in football, you can choose.
I'll defer.
Good for you.
Whoa. Okay. Right.
Okay.
Well done.
All right.
Dino?
I'll go. First. I'll get it over with, and then you guys can jump all over it. Okay, so it's not so much of a shot, but it's just like so we had practices this weekend, right? Good practice. It's a great practice. No, just banter back and forth, you know. We had some good practice this weekend. On the Sunday, Tosh, you did a great job on the, I want to tell you, it was amazing, to how that all set up. It was great.
Thanks, buddy.
You know, on the Saturday though, we did all hitting, Donnie.
Okay.
You're right. And I've heard you guys talk a little bit about this pitching and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Dean never pitches and whatever. 7 hours on Saturday. That's too much.
It is too much. Agreed.
So, you know, I mean, as far as Tosh did a great job with the thing, and but I don't know. I don't know where to go with this because you guys are always grumbling about how much you're pitching and blah, 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 blah. Well, I threw a 7 up there on the board. 7 hours
mm-hmm.
of live pitching.
You know, you did 1 weekend what Donnie and I do every weekend.
Mm-hmm. No, every you don't weekend. Do 7 hours of pitching.
Yes,
straight.
But, no, yes, you
don't.
Yes.
The whole no, thing.
I well, nobody should do thing. That. It's dumb.
I've thrown the whole thing. In the history of the twos, I've done the whole thing, I bet you, 70% of the time.
Well, you can't see on the thing here, but there's wheels on the chair that I'm on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't move, so...
And you're
I think
pitcher.
We need to come up with something there. So you're the mastermind behind the mm-hmm. setting up how we want to run things. So freaking figure it out. We got to hire some young buck to come in. Or
well, how about we get our pitching instructors coming out and throwing some BP? Because normally it's like, and Donnie is a former pitcher, but
yeah.
I get that. But the other two guys that do the most of the throwing are an infielder and a catcher.
And he can't do it much longer either because he is...
No, he's working on one hip right now.
He looks like, yeah, grim death.
and to be fair, I love Razor, but he gets dotted all the time.
I know. Well, and here's the thing. There was 7 lasers that went by, right? I mean, one went over top of his head, one, you know, at his feet. And, of course, every time it's a giant stumble and looks like... who's the other guy? It's just 2 Charlie Brown references. Who's the dusty old guy?
Pigpen.
Dirt all the time. Pigpen. Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of, he was doing like breakdancing, spinning around on his back on one of them. And it's just, I don't know. I did it and I just wanted to do it so you guys won't grumble anymore about how much pitchers don't go out there and pitch. But I'm done with it. Like, that's 7 hours. We got to figure something out.
Well, worst case scenario, if we had the 3 of us and Razor, we should at least split that up. Or if we have Cucurutza there, she can start with the 12s, let's say, with whomever. We should break it up. I 100% agree. Because every time I drive home from Saskatoon, my arm feels like 40 pounds of bologna hanging off my shoulder.
I can't start, stop, and start again, though.
No, but so if we just break it, like,
I'm
like, these two throw to the 12s, these two throw to the 16s, these two throw to the...
I get it. Dino, I'm bugging you because you're a pitcher. But no, I get it. Like, it doesn't seem like you... like. When you throw the 5-6 hours, it's kind of like, okay, the arm just goes around the circle, but you feel it the next day.
Sure.
Sure. Big time.
It goes fast. Like, freaking, that was the fastest 7 hours I think I've ever seen, but it was like, it was a big day. Okay.
We'll figure something out there, but I knew that grumbling was coming. So,
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, Tosh, you're up.
Well, I kind of did mine at the beginning.
You did.
I will reiterate and I will pile on and say Jay Livingston has to defend himself a little bit.
Yep.
And
you
I don't know
how he's
going to
do on the
that.
Podcast.
But I think he's going to. Well, I don't think he even has to do it on the podcast. I think it could even be at the Frosty Fundamentals weekend when Jonesy's in town. He's got to come up with something because, you know, I'll just throw it out there. And I know Jonesy listens to the podcast every week. I'll just throw it out there. You know he's got something in his back pocket.
Oh, for sure.
Because he's a veteran. Mm-hmm. So if Jay's coming back with something, it better be really good. Because
man, it better be a combo of something.
Well, it's got to be a jab right hook. It can't just come right at him with the hook because Jonesy's going to duck that and come back with something else, right?
Right.
And I just think that Jonesy, and this is how his mind thinks, you know. Jay will come at him, and Jonesy has got 2 or 3 options in that holster. And whatever Jay comes at him with, he's going to go, I'm going to go option B on this one. Poof. And then Jay's going to say something. Oh, I got option A now. Poof. Like, it's going to be, like, I like Jay, and I think, you know, he's a witty guy.
Yeah.
I just think he's a one-trick pony. I think
Ooh, he, wow.
One-trick pony.
Yep. I think he's going to come out. He's going to come out with a set line, and Jonesy's going to read that like Belichick knowing the signals. It's not even going to matter.
Any Seinfeld fans out there will remember when George is at a meeting and he's eating shrimp, and the guy says, "Hey, the ocean called to bring our shrimp," and George has nothing to say. So he goes home and he works on a comeback, and he's so jacked about it. And he said, "The jerk store called," and they're
jerk store,
which is amazing. But the guy comes right back and hits him in the lips and says, "Well, I know you would know. You're their number one seller." So I feel like this is how that exchange is going to go. Jay's going to come back. He's had 2 weeks worth of time to prep some kind of a retort.
Yeah.
But what he doesn't know is Jones already has a couple things he's got teed up. So maybe the shot should be, Jay, you should hire like a wit coach, or like just someone to give you a bit of a
wit coach.
Yeah.
Like a wit coach.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, a bit of a give you a bit of.
I just, fellas, I'm just visioning, like, Jay just rocking back and forth in the corner because he just gets verbally pretzeled by Jonesy.
Okay, you set it up well.
Yeah. No, that's great.
I think it's out there.
It's out there.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Jay, my advice to you is send a reply to Brittany and have her post it on social. I think that's your best stance to take right now. It shows a bit of pushback, but you don't want to make it all about you. You just want to say, "Hey, I've heard you." But no. Here's a press release from the office of Jay Livingston. Here's what I feel. I await your reply. My shot real quick is going to be, it's not really a shot at anything. It's going to go to Chach, who we've talked a little bit too much about in this cast. Hey, Chach, I just want to clean slate this. It doesn't matter which instructor's been with the program, player longer. It doesn't matter. We're all there to help the kids. So don't make this about you and I. So let's just go forward together and help make kids better ball players. And if you can't do that, then I win. That's it.
Nice. Drop the mic Johnny.
Oof.
Curtis, you're up.
Well, I haven't had a whole lot of time to think of this, but my shot goes out to, I guess, parents and players who think that they can only play one position, that say, "Hey, I'm a catcher, I'm a pitcher, I'm a center fielder." You're what the coach tells you you're going to be.
I like that. That's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Taking a swing. I like it.
That's all your position is what the coach tells you you're going to be. And you better get good at it or you'll be sitting on the bench.
That's right.
There's the hard line of the Regina El Presidente. Yeah. Hey?
Well, you know what, coach? I don't want to play left field. Well, here's your choice. You can play left field or left bench. It's up to you. You pick. I love that. That's a great.
Wow.
That's a great, great, great line. Yeah. And you know what? That is awesome because that's
another mic drop.
You're what the coach tells you you are. That is awesome.
Well, it's a good point because, I mean, you know, we all can't play shortstop or we all can't pitch or we all can't. So, I mean, at some point, you got to find another – you got to find something else
to – Well, and I'll tell you, those kids that are utility is a great position. And kids don't understand that because if you're playing on – you know, Dino, you're going through it now with Team Sask or Team Canada. I've seen it with the junior team. The kids that offer – more than one trick are the ones that usually get selected, you know? So that's good advice by Curtis for sure. You gotta learn different positions and there's always going to be somebody better than you.
Yeah.
Right. You got to understand that too. So awesome. Curtis, it was great having you on. We talked about getting you on before and so good luck with everything going on with Regina Minor and look forward to seeing the program for many years down the road. So thanks for coming on, buddy.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Kurt.
It was a lot of fun.
Right on. Say goodnight, Donnie.
Good night, guys.
Thanks for listening to Tuesday Talk. New episodes weekly on Tuesdays. For more info, visit myloydminsternow.com or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.